Chapter 18. During the next 2 years, Morris and Clive had as much happiness as men under that star can expect. They were affectionate and consistent by nature, and, thanks to Clive, extremely sensible. Clive knew that ecstasy cannot last, but can carve a channel for something lasting, and he contrived a relation that proved permanent. If Morris made love, it was Clive who preserved it, and caused its rivers to water the garden. He could not bear that one drop should be wasted, either in bitterness or in sentimentality, and as time went on, they abstained from avowals. We have said everything, and almost from caresses. Their happiness was to be together. They radiated something of their calm among others, and could take their place in society. Clive had expanded in this direction ever since he had understood Greek. The love that Socrates bore Phaedo now lay within his reach, love passionate but temperate, such as only finer natures can understand. And he found in Morris a nature that was not indeed fine, but charmingly willing. He led the beloved up a narrow and beautiful path, high above either abyss. It went on until the final darkness. He could see no other terror. And when that descended, they would at all events have lived more fully than either saint or sensualist, and would have extracted to their utmost the nobility and sweetness of the world. He educated Morris, or rather his spirit educated Morris's spirit, for they themselves became equal. Neither thought, "Am I led? Am I leading?" Love had caught him out of triviality, and Morris out of bewilderment, in order that two imperfect souls might touch perfection. So they proceeded outwardly like other men. Society received them as she receives thousands like them. Behind society slumbered the law. They had their last year at Cambridge together. They travelled in Italy. Then the prison house closed, but on both of them. Clive was working for the bar, Morris harnessed to an office. They were together still.